Good morning. So good to see you here on this beautiful day, the day the Lord has made. We are thankful for fall and to be able to enjoy autumn together and to enjoy singing these praises to God. What a blessing that God has given us many different styles of music that we can enjoy and that we can use to praise and worship our God. And we've been able to enjoy some of those different styles this morning. Before me on the overhead, you see the old vine. Now you say, well, there's a lot of old vines. Well, that's true, but this one is actually called the old vine. It's located in the country of Slovenia in Central Europe. 2 weeks ago, when we began this message on abiding in the vine, we had a picture of a very old vine called the Mother Vine. The Mother Vine, we saw, and it's located on Roanoke Island in North Carolina. It's the oldest grapevine in North America, and some believe in the whole world, but others believe that this vine, properly entitled Old Vine, may actually be the oldest vine in the world. Both are in the neighborhood of 500 years old, somewhere roughly around that. The mother vine is not quite that old, and unfortunately, the guy who planted this is not still around, and he didn't give good records so that we could be exact. But they know for sure that it is at least about 400 years old, but they think that probably 500 years old. This, if you, is another view of the old vine. And you notice there on the old vine, here is technically the old vine. Now, what you saw here is what is running along the railing there, and you can see it in this picture as well, at least part of it, the old vine. This is where the life comes up that feeds all of these branches covered with leaves and also, at certain times of year, grapes. But that vine provides the sustenance. Well, actually, the vine is the avenue of the sustenance going to the branch. And if someone went and broke off one of those branches, or if weather caused one of those branches to be broken off, no longer connected to the vine, then the life that comes through that vine would no longer come into that branch, and that branch would not only not produce leaves, but more importantly, that branch would not produce fruit. I'm going to ask you to turn again to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, and 2 weeks ago we began to look at this passage in the first 11 verses of John chapter 15, the words of the Lord Jesus. In fact, on the night in which he was betrayed, this is the night he was betrayed. This is the night that after time in the upper room with his disciples, he would go to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, and that is where he would be arrested. It's believed that it was on the way from that upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane when the Lord Jesus actually spoke these words. And we're going to read them together, beginning with verse 1 of John 15, as the Lord Jesus himself speaks again to us, as well as to his disciples of that day. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Are you abiding in the true vine? That's a question for each one of us this morning. Are you, am I, abiding in the true vine? We're going to have a very, very quick review. And if you'd like to know more about what we talked about 2 weeks ago, you can go onto the website and listen to the message there. But we are considering three questions regarding this question of are you abiding in the vine? And the first question was, what does it mean to abide in the vine? And we ended up with this question. Do you personally possess a positional connection with the true vine by grace through faith? We saw that in order to be connected to the life of the vine, in order to be a branch that is remaining in the vine, first of all, we must be positionally connected to the vine, and that comes only as we recognize ourselves individually as sinners, separated from the vine, in need of salvation, need of forgiveness, in need of being redeemed, bought back to God. We come into this world separate from God. We come into this world in need of a relationship with God, and that is the heart of God, to have a relationship with every one of His human creations, to have a personal, ongoing, life-giving, life-sustaining, abundant life relationship with every one of us. But until we come to that point where we recognize that I can't have that by being a good person, I can't have that by just going to church, I can't have that by turning over a new leaf, I can't have that by wishing it were so, I must realize I'm a sinner, separated from the vine, and in need of that relationship that only comes by grace. It's a gift through faith. Believing that the Lord Jesus, God the Son, came to this earth and never sinned, and in His sinlessness went to the cross of Calvary and died for my sin and took my place there. Being the object of the wrath of God, He deserved no punishment, for He had no sin. But the wages of our sin is death. The wages of all sin is death. And He took that on Himself and paid the penalty, that we might go free, and rose again from the dead, living today, offering forgiveness. And those who come to God in simple, childlike faith, receiving the Lord Jesus and the work that He has done, become not only a part of the family of God, not only forgiven, not only redeemed, not only declared right in the court of heaven, not only given new life, but are also placed as a branch in the vine, connected. So first of all, we must answer that question. Do we personally possess that positional connection? But then if we do, then here was the other question we asked. On a scale of 1 to 10, what is your honest evaluation of your practical connection with the true vine? In other words, living out the reality of what is positionally yours because you have trusted Christ as Savior. Are you living out the life of the Lord Jesus? And then we begin to ask that second question. What should motivate me to abide in the vine? We looked at two of those motivations. First of all, that there is the opportunity for productivity to be reality. And we're not going to go back through those verses again. But the goal here is that the life of the Lord Jesus, the essence of who He is in His character, would be demonstrated in a daily way, in a very practical way in our lives, the way that we function in our families, in the job, on the job, in the school, in our community, in our local gatherings, anytime we're interacting with another person, and when we're all alone, is the character of the Lord Jesus seen in us. Otherwise, our lives really are a waste. A waste. What did the Lord Jesus say? What did the Lord Jesus say? Without me, you can do hardly anything. He didn't say that, did he? No, without me, you can do nothing. And some people will say, well, hey, I got up this morning, and you wouldn't have done that without him, by the way. But what he's talking about here is that connection with him to have a life that matters for eternity. Do you want your life to count? If you don't care if your life counts or not, you're probably not going to be very interested in this message this morning. But if you want a life that's not a wasted life, as we see here, some of these branches taken out and burned. Our lives can be burned up, even though, as we read in 1 Corinthians, that we can be saved, yet as by fire, that our lives don't really count. We don't want that, I don't think. I know I don't want that, for me or for you, and I don't think you want that either. The fruitfulness of the grapes on the grapevine. We want that character of the Lord Jesus. We see it in the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And we saw other fruit as well. But let's move on, because not only is there that opportunity for productivity to be a reality, but also for prayer to be answered. And we saw that in verse 7. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire and it will be done for you. And we saw that our desires will be shaped by the Lord Jesus when it's His life that's being lived out through us. Number three, another motivation. And I love these motivations. They're such an encouragement that, hey, this matters. This matters that I abide, that I remain, that I stay connected in a practical sense to the Lord Jesus. He said He's the true vine. And in verse 8, notice there again in the beginning of that verse, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. The Lord Jesus was burdened that His Father would be glorified. Is that in your heart? Is what was in the heart of the Lord Jesus in your heart this morning, that you want the splendor of the character of God to be exhibited, to be magnified, to be celebrated, to be extolled, to be praised? Do you have that desire that God's glory would be seen? Again, if you don't care about God's glory being seen, if it's all about your glory being seen, then you're probably not going to be very interested in abiding in the vine. But if that is your heart, because the Father is already infinitely glorious, we can't make Him any more glorious. But we can allow His glory to be seen through our lives. It's seen in creation. It's seen in so many ways in our world today and in so many lives. But you know what? I want it to be seen in my life. I want the Father's glory to be displayed in the fruitfulness of my life. And I am convinced that many, if not all in this room this morning, have that same heart that I have. And you want the Father's glory to be seen. It can be seen in us bearing fruit. As we see in Matthew 5:16, as we let our light shine before others that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. What the Lord Jesus said. And we can look throughout the New Testament. In 2 Corinthians 9:13, we see Paul speaking of people glorifying God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing. When they see the reality of the life of the Lord Jesus being lived out through someone, God is glorified. Having, as we read in 1 Peter 2:12, our conduct, our lifestyle, honorable among the Gentiles. What he's saying there is that when we live a life of godliness among people of the world who do not know the Lord Jesus, then by our good works, which they observe, God will be glorified in the day of visitation. Not only God glorified today. You see, what you're doing, the way you're living today, is not only affecting today and tomorrow. It's also affecting eternity. And one day, we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus. And the lives that we lived are going to be examined. And I don't want my life to be like a branch and taken and thrown into the fire. It was just a waste. As far as glory to God goes, I don't want that. And I don't think you do either. We want our lives to glorify God. And we're going to hurry on through here. Let's look at the next thing that we see in that same verse. Another motivation is an opportunity for discipleship to be evidenced. So you will be my disciples. True faith and true discipleship is going to be evidenced. In Matthew 10:25, we read the Lord Jesus saying, "It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher." And fruit bearing demonstrates that I am a disciple of the Lord Jesus. I am a learner of the Lord Jesus. I am a follower of the Lord Jesus. And when his life is seen through the fruit of my life, it is evidence that I am learning from him and I am following him. In John 8:31, the Lord Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." Is there enough evidence in my life? Is there enough fruit from my life that if I was taken into a court of law, being tried as a disciple of the Lord Jesus, would there be enough evidence, would there be enough witnesses to convict me of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus? If you were taken into that courtroom and you were on trial as a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus, would there be enough evidence presented that would convict you before a jury of your peers that you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus? There's another motivation in verses 9 and 10. What should motivate me? The opportunity for God's love to be experienced. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. What a picture there. That the Lord Jesus would parallel the experience that we can have of the love of God with his experience of the love of God. Last Sunday morning, our brother Ronnie, speaking on the prayer life of the Lord Jesus, reminded us of him going up onto the mountain to pray. To pray. The Lord Jesus was intimately and eternally connected with his Father. He was abiding in his Father. And he said, "I experienced upon this earth as a human being, yet continuing to be God, he experienced the love of God." Now, he always knew the love of his Father. He always knew the love of his Father. We could say, possibly, except as we sang this morning, when the Father turned his face away, But you know what? It's one thing to be loved by God. It's something else to experience that love, isn't it? It's one thing to be loved by your father, if you were. It's something else to experience that love. It's one thing to hear about the love of a spouse. It's something else to experience the love of a spouse. And God says that He loves you. And you can't undo that. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're experiencing that love. And He says as we abide in Him, we have a greater appreciation and understanding and experience of the love that's already there, as God is wanting, as it were, to put His arms around you and let you know that He loves you. And the Lord Jesus says, as you abide in Me, then you're going to experience that to a deeper degree. And then finally, He wants your joy to be abundant. He says there in verse 11, "These things I have spoken to you, that My joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." When His joy abides in me, I overflow with joy, because you know what? I can't contain all the joy of the Lord Jesus. I can't. He is joy. And when His joy fills me up, I can't keep that inside. And so if you ever see me and I'm not joyful, and I don't mean I'm necessarily be smiling and happy and telling a joke, because that's not necessarily what joy is. And there are times when solemnity is called for. But if you ever find a time and you don't see joy in me, then you can wonder, is He really abiding in the vine? And I want to be a joyful person. I want my joy to come from the Lord. And even when I'm suffering, even when I'm going through hardship, even when I'm down because of the circumstances of my life and my own emotions, I want the joy of the Lord to overflow out of me. Which of these? Look at that list of six. I hope you can find at least one. I tell you, all six get me so excited that I want to abide in the vine, because I want this in my life. I desperately want this in my life. Which of those motivate you to abide in Him? Lock in at least one. And maybe you say, I want three, I want all six, I don't know, but please lock in at least one that can really motivate you to abide in the vine. Abide in the vine. Okay, one more question that we want to ask regarding this abiding in the vine, and it's this. What are my responsibilities? What are your responsibilities for abiding in the vine? Now, when we look at the old vine and we watch it, if we had a video of the old vine, let me tell you, the only thing you would possibly notice of movement would be if the breeze was blowing. You're not going to be able to see the branch like, come on, grape, come out. I'm trying to. You're not going to see that. You see, the branch, it just stays there, and the life of the vine comes through, and here come the grapes. But when it comes to us as human beings, we do have responsibilities. We can't develop the fruit. We can't will it to happen. But there are responsibilities that we have in our own lives toward that abiding and that fruit bearing. So let's just think about them for a moment very quickly. There are seven things I want us to look at here in these last few minutes. None of them are rocket science at all, so they're all going to be reminders. Number one, commit consciously to abiding in the vine. In other words, for us, it's not going to occur spontaneously unless we make a decision. That's why the Lord Jesus is challenging the disciples and challenging us in these verses to abide in the vine, because we have a responsibility. And we need to make that conscious decision. We need to set a goal. I want the life of the Lord Jesus to be lived out through my life. That's what I want. There are four teams left trying to get into the World Series, and I can tell you that all four of those teams, plus all the other baseball teams in the National and American Leagues, they started out in spring training this year, and they had a goal to win the World Series. They set a goal. And if they hadn't set that goal, they definitely wouldn't be one of these final four teams. We've got to set a goal. We've got to consciously commit to abiding in the vine. Number two, this one's big. Our responsibility includes dealing seriously with hindrances to abiding in the vine. Some of you in this room this morning have had heart problems. I'm not talking spiritually right this second. I'm talking about physically, medically. Some of you have had a blockage in your heart, in some of the arteries. And the blood has not been able to flow properly to or from the heart because there was a blockage there. And that blockage didn't allow that connection to be made. And that, if not dealt with seriously, could result in death and has resulted in death, not for any of us in this room, but for ones that we have loved and do love. And you see, that connection is a picture. If there's a hindrance, if there's plaque built up in that artery and it stops it and it's one of those main arteries, then it doesn't matter how much you want to live. That's got to be opened up. That's got to be cleared out. So are there hindrances? Is there something there that's getting in the way? Could be a secret sin that nobody knows about in this room but you. You know it's there. You know. And the Lord is calling us to deal seriously with that. Or maybe it's a sin that's common to everybody in this room, and we all share the same struggle in a particular area. And maybe that is what is hindering the life of the vine from really coming in to your life. Because you don't want to deal with that. You don't want to give it up. Or maybe you've tried to give it up, and it's very difficult, and so you have, instead of giving it up, you have given up on giving it up. And the Lord is saying, whatever that is, if it's something of yourself and your own desires, if it's something of this world trying to shape you into its mold, if it's the devil himself behind these things trying to hinder, he said, you got to deal seriously. You need to bring that before God. Can we take just a 20 seconds? Every one of us, bow our heads. Let's just for a moment identify if there's something there, and I want to encourage you to confess it to the Lord and with His strength, by His power, turn from it right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Amen. Deal seriously with any hindrances. Number three, focus directly on the vine. This is another important one that's very difficult. I was talking with a brother the other night about this, and he was sharing some thoughts with me, and it really, you know, kind of crystallized this for me. This idea of making the Lord Jesus my default mental topic. What is your default mental topic? In other words, if your mind just can go anywhere, where does it go? Where does it go? The flesh doesn't want to go to the Lord Jesus because it's convicting. The world doesn't want it to go to the Lord Jesus because that gets in the way of their agenda. The devil surely doesn't want to go to the Lord Jesus. But, you know, the Holy Spirit, He wants us to think about the Lord Jesus, to think about Him, to meditate on Him. To when our minds can go anywhere, that they go to the Lord Jesus and we think about Him. We think about who He is and what He's done and what He's doing and what He's going to do and what He wants for us and what His character is like. How does that affect what I'm doing right now or what I'm going to get ready to do? Maybe it'll take meditating on a Bible verse. Maybe it'll be a song that reminds me of the Lord Jesus that I can bring back to my mind to think about Him, to consider Him. That is part of abiding in the vine. Fixing our minds on the Lord Jesus. Focusing directly on Him. Philippians 4:8. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And I can think of nothing more true, nothing more noble, nothing more just, nothing more pure, nothing more lovely, nothing more of good report, nothing more virtuous, nothing more praiseworthy than the person of the Lord Jesus, focusing on Him. And then communicating consistently with Him in the Word every day. In the Word every day. I'd encourage you to get an accountability partner for this. Somebody to ask you at least once a week, how many days this past week did you spend some time in the Word of God? I'm not saying you have to have a Bible program pulled up on your computer or 10 books stacked around you. That's great to do. I'd encourage you to do that. But I'm talking about just getting with God in His Word and seeking the Lord Jesus in the Scripture and listening to His voice. And then, of course, praying. Having that ongoing communion, praying without ceasing. Having that sense of the Lord Jesus' presence all the time. Fifthly, depend fully on the vine. Know that the key is the vine. I want to go back again to those words at the end of verse 5. For without me you can do nothing. That's what the Lord Jesus said. He wasn't just talking about Peter and Matthew. He was talking about Mark. This Mark right here, by the way. Not just the one in the Bible. He's talking about you. Depending on Him. Realizing that apart from Him, that my life is not really going to matter. Everybody may think I'm great. Everybody may think that I'm the most humanitarian person that ever lived on the earth. People may think that this person is so wonderful. And I know nobody thinks that about me. But I'm just saying, even if they did, or even if they do about you, unless you're abiding in the vine, unless you're remaining connected, letting His life come into your life and through your life, then it really is not going to matter. That's the evaluation of the Lord Jesus. You can take it up with Him if you don't think that's fair or you don't think that's right. That's what He said. Apart from me, if you're not abiding in me, it's not going to matter what you're doing. I'm not saying that you're not going to be able to be a good parent and help your child and that you won't do a good job at work and that you won't be promoted or that you won't be thought of highly in the community. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the evaluation of the Lord Jesus, who said, I am the true vine, abide in me. Depending fully on Him, being open to the life of the vine, choosing not to rely on ourselves. I can't do it. I'm a good faker, but I can't do the real deal. It's got to be Him. He's got to live His life through me. And then we draw this from verse 9. Obey willingly the commands of the vine. Verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. What does God want me to do? What is His desire? Not is what my plan to do. I've got my day timer, and I'm going to put on it what God was, or what I'm planning to do that day, and I need to do those things, but I need to pray about it even before I do that. Lord, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to put on my to-do list? A lot of that is right here. I may not put those commands on my to-do list. Maybe I ought to. Maybe I ought to do that. Maybe right on the top of my to-do list ought to be abide in the true vine. Maybe I ought to put that at the top and then put everything up underneath it. But what does God tell me in His Word to do? Am I committed to doing that, to knowing and obeying the Word of God, knowing the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit, and obeying the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit? And then lastly, yield sacrificially to pruning by the vine dresser. Back in verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And as we saw last time, that an accurate translation can also be he lifts up. He lifts it up. But then what does the rest of the verse say? And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. That's his goal. Pruning even the old vine and the mother vine, that they might bear more fruit. Pruning can be painful. A pruning usually is painful. As we think even of the illustration here of the vine dresser coming in with a sharp instrument, pruning away unneeded sprigs off the branch that are hindering the fruit bearing, and he may prune some things out of our lives, particularly when we yield ourselves to him. But he said, I want you to bear more fruit. I want you to bear much fruit. Right where you sit, as we get ready to close, I just want to encourage you, as you think about this list, again, this isn't a to-do list in the sense of step one, step two. These are just some practical things that I think we all know already. Just try to put them in a form that I can get my arms around and hopefully implement in my life. And I hope that you are seeking to do the same. Let me give you just a moment to express to God your intentions regarding this. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Amen. One more vine I want to show you here as we close this morning. And we've seen the mother vine and the old vine. This is called the great vine. It was planted in 1768 in Hampton Court Palace in Surrey, United Kingdom. This is the largest grapevine in the world. It's about 13 feet around at its base. The branches typically measure up to 108 feet long. The longest branch, 246 feet long. This is an old vine, but a big vine, a large vine. The average crop of black desert grapes off this vine and these branches is 600 pounds. But you know, in 2001, now remember, it was planted in 1768 from a cutting taken from Essex in England. And it was planted. And normally, after a vine begins to get what they would call old, normally the fruitfulness decreases. But in 2001, the autumn of 2001, this grape vine had a crop of 845 pounds, the best crop it had ever had. And you know what? The Lord Jesus, it was like 2,000 years ago he was saying this. But the Lord Jesus is eternal. And there is nothing in him that would ever diminish, because of age, the fruit-bearing production in your life and in my life. And in our local church. Nothing in him. Nothing in him. And there should be nothing in us that has to do with getting older. I should be producing more fruit as I'm more mature in the Lord. The grapevine. There it is. Spread out. All over that glass house. Producing those grapes. I want to encourage you to abide in the true vine. And I'm going to encourage you to ask someone in the next week, preferably somebody that's in this room right now that heard this message. I want you to, in love, go up to somebody or call them on the phone or send them an email. And I want you to ask them the question that's the title of this message. Just ask them, are you abiding in the vine? Are you abiding in the vine? And be ready for them to ask you the question back. Now, whether or not they answer you, that's up to them. But just the accountability. And be ready for them to ask you, are you abiding in the vine? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time in your word this morning, looking at the Lord Jesus who said he is the true vine. Father, thank you that we, by faith in the Lord Jesus, believing that he died for our sins and rose again, we have that inestimable privilege of being a branch connected to the true vine, the only true vine, your Son, the Lord Jesus. Father, we don't want wasted lives. Father, we want a life that our Savior will look at and say, you're bearing fruit. You're bearing more fruit than you were. You're bearing much fruit. Father, we don't want a wasted life. We want our lives to count for eternity because we want the Lord Jesus to be glorified in time and eternity. And we want people that are around us now to somehow see the Lord Jesus in us. We don't want it just to be what we say, though we want to be bold with our words. Lord, we want them to see in our character, in our actions, the reality of who the Lord Jesus is. Father, help us. We need your help. We know that apart from your Son, we can do nothing. Help us to stay abiding, to stay connected, to be fresh, to have his life coming into us. Father, help us to be practical. Help us to be real. Help us to encourage one another. And we ask these things for your glory. In the name of the true vine, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As our brother plays a verse, please just continue to meditate and to talk to God about this.